What's going on, everybody? This is Scott from Android Guys, and wanted to give you a little intro before I put you into the podcast. This is an interview that I did with the CEO of OneCast. His name is Anthony, and if you guys ever get a chance to speak with him, meet him, contact him, anything, he's awesome. He's a very cool guy, very easy to get along with, very passionate about his company, and I think you'll notice that in the podcast. About the company, OneCast, and the service that they offer, it's essentially an on-demand news. You know, instead of sitting there for a half hour watching story after story or segment, you know, after segment that you don't care about just to see the one article that they have coming up that you've been waiting on, OneCast allows you to basically skip, handpick. It's almost like RSS feeds for news. So instead of subscribing to a whole network and watching everything that they have, you can go in and pick the article that you want, watch it, listen to it, whatever, and then jump around. In this podcast, Anthony mentions that there are some channels that they're looking to add to it. At the time it was recorded, there was, I believe, Reuters, AP, maybe CNBC, one or two other ones, but since then they've added a few more channels. There's now Wall Street Journal. There's also All Things D. If you guys are into Mossberg, you can watch those clips. You can handpick the news that you want and jump around. And what's really neat about it is it constantly updates. So you're getting fresh news almost instantly after it's online, after it's aired. You can watch, you know, celebrity news, sports stuff, stock market. You know, it's March Madness time. Get your movie reviews. You know, the types of clips that you watch, but you can choose what you watch when you watch it. I live in an edge network. I don't have the 3G, so I was a little bit afraid of how that was going to look and act on my phone. I do spend a lot of time on Wi-Fi here at home and in other places, so I didn't worry about how it was going to look there, but I thought, okay, if I'm out in the car and I just want to pull up a couple of news articles, how's that going to look? Surprisingly enough, it looks very good. It loads quickly. You don't have this, you know, pause, buffer type stuff going on. It's a cool application. And the clips are, you know, they're short enough that you don't have this, you know, huge wait. It's almost instant. Pull it up, start watching it. Anyways, that's a testament to them as well as T-Mobile. Even though it's on an edge, it loads quickly. And what I found was the edge or 3G, you're going to get the same quality. OneCast makes that so that it's designed for mobile content viewing. They don't take, you know, a video that's online and dumb it down so that you can watch it on your phone. It's not the same one you're trying to pull up on a computer. So they take that and make it so that it's, you know, not really ported, but created for, you know, your G1 or Android phone. So it's a very cool application. I do recommend you check it out. It's free. You know, who doesn't mind trying free things? If you're into news or you subscribe to, you know, certain RSS, you know, feeds, or you know, get your news from a certain source, try this. It's definitely worth it. Now, about why this podcast wasn't put online immediately, there's a little backstory to that. I recorded it about, let's see, it's been about a month, and you'll hear in the podcast that my voice, I sound very cold, congested, nasally type thing, and I just started getting this cold/flu thing. I recorded it, I believe, on a Thursday, anticipating putting it online that day or the next day, and I just gradually felt a little bit worse over the next couple of days. So I thought, okay, let's put it on the back burner and go for it maybe first part of next week. Come Monday, my computer doesn't even load up. I have bad boot sectors, mess around with it for a good hour before I head off to work, and come to find out there's nothing I can really do to get into my computer, which is a Dell Windows machine. And you guys can say what you will about it, but I've had great luck and really loved the thing up until that point. So turned my computer over to this guy that I know, John, and he had it for about 2 weeks and did everything he could to save everything that was on there, and wasn't able to keep me from losing everything, but the guy was awesome. He did salvage the family pictures, the videos, the stuff that you can't really replicate. I lost music, but I'm able to get that back. And I also was able to salvage everything from my Android Guys folders that I have pictures and other stuff, including this podcast. I was concerned that I wouldn't have this, and I would have to go back and ask them, hey, would you mind getting back on the phone and talking to me again? So they've been more than patient with me, and I do thank them for that. They've been very cool to deal with, and I want to give them a little plug before we start letting you guys listen to it. But check it out. OneCast, it's free. Just go to the Google Market, pull it up. It's the number one, CAST. Check it out. They've got some new stuff coming out that I don't want to pull the cat out of the bag for them. But keep an eye on the application. There's been a couple of updates to it already, and it's a very, very neat application, and I find it pretty handy, and I'm sure you guys would too. So without further ado and any more blabber, here's the podcast that I recorded with OneCast. Hey everybody, this is Scott Webster with Android Guys. I've got another podcast today, and I'm going to be interviewing Anthony Bontrager of OneCast. This is a new application that's come to Android. It's been available online before and also available for iPhone, I believe. So we're going to do a little Q&A with him and find out a little bit more about the company and the application that's available for Android, and see if there's anything that we're missing here that might be hiding underneath a layer or two. Anthony, are you there?
I sure am. Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for joining us today. I do appreciate
it. Thanks for having me on.
I want to go right into it and ask you a little bit about the company before we get into the application. How did that come about, the company? How did that evolve?
Really simply, actually, we had a couple of the executives at the investment company that funds OneCast. We're sitting around looking at the market, and more directly kind of looking at themselves and saying, what do they need in terms of news consumption? What would they like to see in order to make themselves more productive? And one of the things that came out of those discussions, and they have these brainstorming discussions periodically, was, I don't like sitting through these hour-long newscasts just to get to the one or two topics that are of interest to me. And boy, wouldn't it be great if we could create a solution that allowed us to pull in all of this content from these different programmers and enable users to actually filter through a lot of the noise that's out there and get simply that information that's personally relevant to them so they can get it and move on about their day. And then more so, have that content always be updated and always be fresh, so whatever they view or listen to in the morning is distinctly different from what they view or listen to in the afternoon or further on into the evening. And then with that, could we make this widely available so I can watch it on my mobile device or on my desktop or where have you? And that's really kind of the discussion that germinated and ultimately became what is now OneCast.
So it was an actual scratching an itch of your own to help come about with the company. It was your idea.
Well, it really
solve your own problems.
Yeah, it really was. You look at the marketplace and you figure, what issues do I have that could be brought to bear across a larger audience? And the Eagle River Investment Company has invested and started up a number of very profitable, very successful companies. Clearwire for one, ICO Global, and a whole host of others. And a lot of those things just kind of come about in terms of looking at different technology applications, the needs of an individual user, and how can we create a business around that is both unique and scalable. And that's what, again, I think really led the drive for them to create OneCast.
Gotcha. Well, I unfortunately, I'd have to say that I didn't know much about it up until I saw that it was coming to Android, and that's when I started to look at it and I realized, wow, this is actually something that I could have been enjoying a long time ago. When you mentioned, getting to the news that you want and being able to pick that, that's something that I find myself, watching the news in the morning. It's like, okay, I I've already sat through two, you know, lead-ins coming up next type things. Just give me the article. And, you know, it's one thing to go to the computer and read the news and pull up news feeds, but it's another thing to actually watch the articles and, you know, get these 1 to 2, 3 minute video clips of the, you know, the actual news that you care about. And that's when I thought, wow, there's something really cool here. And when I put it on my phone, I thought, how have I not had this PC for, you know, breaking and relative news for me for so long?
Well, you know, you are, you know, you're pretty much spot in the market that we're trying to, you know, attract towards or gravitate to, if you will. You know, with the amount of content that's rapidly becoming available on the web, you know, it really just becomes nearly impossible for anybody to figure out what it is they want to search for, where their interests are, and once they do determine that, where do they go for that content? And so an aggregation play makes tremendous sense, and I think we've seen that to a certain degree in the more of the traditional long-tail content with the likes of Veo and the teams over at Hulu, who both of those companies have done a fantastic job of bringing that long-tail to the web and aggregating it in a very compelling format. For us, no one really did it with news. And as you can appreciate, news is a completely different beast. I mean, it's something that drives a whole host of decisions, you know, at the consumer level, at the business level. And, you know, people need this information and they have very limited time within which to get it and digest it. And so that, you know, was for us was, you know, a key focus in terms of, you know, making this content in this format so widely available across the desktop and the smartphone space. And we're also looking, you know, we have a very distinct three-screen strategy, so we foresee one cast within the living room here, hopefully by the end of this year.
Oh, that's awesome. That's something that I've seen a trend over time. You mentioned Hulu, and I was thinking before I was going to call you guys today or speak with you guys, looking back even, you know, 3-4 years ago, it was nothing for me to pick up a newspaper and just sit down and read it, you know, local section, national section, world section, and then sports, and, you know, just pull stuff up. And then as time has gone, you know, you get into these RSS feeds that have come about in the last few years and being able to actually have your mail, you know, your news mailed to you and pushed to you, you know, and now in a mobile sense, to be able to just get that while you're sitting at the doctor's office or sitting at a red light or, you know, to just pull up stuff that, you know, you can just cut right to the chase and only read the stuff that interests you and have that sent to you. I've seen, you know, as like I said, you mentioned Hulu. I watch so much more television that way now, and I've actually taken things off my season pass off of my TiVo just because I know a day or two later when I will get to it, it's already available, and I have much less hassle to deal with commercial-wise, and it's just – I go there and get the content, and I'm thinking the same thing with the news is give me the stuff that I care about and give it to me, you know, in small chunks of what I, you know, would like to see. So hearing that, you know, ultimately you might want to, you know, get that to the TV by the end of the year, that's some
well, you know, Scott,
stuff.
It really goes to, you know, our philosophy and belief around delivering on a concept, you know, that's well known as seamless mobility and giving the users, you know, the ability to have access to their content whenever and wherever they are. And, you know, today for us, it's starting clearly on the desktop within the Google's Android phone, our iPhone offering as well, and we'll extend, you know, into the living room. And people really want that flexibility. And I think to your point, you know, being able to simply get the content you want and watch it whenever and wherever you want, you know, very few people are delivering on that in a wholesale manner. I mean, you've got, again, you know, the folks over at Veo do a fantastic job you know, with delivering content via the web. They've got a Facebook application as well. Hulu's got a nice site too. But, you know, where are a lot of these applications going? You know, what's the mobile strategy? What's the third screen strategy in terms of getting into the living room? Because people, you know, like you, don't want to have to, you know, constantly, you know, pay and pay again for this content. You know, let's pay for it once in one form or another, whether it be advertising supported or subscription based, and just simply let me have access to it in these different mediums. And that's really what we're trying to focus on here is create an environment where people aren't having to double pay for the content that they're already getting through Comcast or whatever other subscription service they're getting, but have access to it, and again, in this personally relevant manner on these different device types. for us, you know, the monetization around advertising is critical for us, and I think as it is with most other online video providers. And we try to take a very, you know, tactful approach in terms of the ad capacity that we make available to our charter advertisers. And it's, you know, we don't, you know, make the site look like Tokyo at night, so you don't see any, you know, branded players. There's no billboards or skyscrapers popping up all over you. It's very tasteful. And we deliver maybe one or two video ads within the course of our microcast. You'll see maybe 3 to 5 overlay ads taking up the bottom 20% of that screen. And that's really it. And the idea here is that, you know, we want the advertisements to be at the same quality of the content that we're delivering, number one. Number two, we also want those advertisements to be targeted to a user, so we're delivering, you know, something that's equally as compelling as to what they're watching, or as close as we can get to that. And finally, we believe that that scarcity of those ad avails, coupled with the quality of the content we're delivering and the very, you know, unique and attractive audience that we're driving right now, helps us see CPM lift for the ads that we sell over and above what others in the market are doing right now. And so far, this philosophy has borne itself out in our business plan.
I was curious about that as I, you know, pull up videos and I watch it, and I played with it at first. You know, I thought, okay, here's this ad for this car as I sit here, you know, wait for it to queue up. And now where I'm at, I don't have 3G, so I have an edge network. And even that loaded quickly, and I never had any stuttering or buffering problems. And the video looks great. And as I was waiting for it, I saw that ad. I thought, okay, I wonder how much I'm going to see this type of stuff and how often. And what I've seen is it's really, you know, it doesn't hit you over the head. It doesn't say, hey, here's how we make money. We're giving you all this stuff for free, but we expect you to click on this. Or here's something that's completely off the mark and, you know, not really targeted. And, you know, it's like, I think nothing of seeing a car commercial on television or hearing one on the radio. So for me to see something here that, you know, have somebody click this or, you know, a targeted ad show up, it's really, it's not intrusive at all, and it looks really nice, and it's in there in a manner which doesn't look like you're asking, you know, please click our ads, or here's a company that, you know, is going to pay us to take up a big chunk of your screen. So it's, you know, kudos to the way you guys have integrated that. From what I've seen so far, I haven't felt like, oh, let's get this out of the way so I can watch the news that I want, you know, or I could just go back to the TV again. But It's a really cool way.
Well, thank you. You know, we've done a lot of different, you know, kind of A/B testing in terms of where we placed that ad creative. You know, we started off with having it at the beginning of the cast, and the more we thought about it, we said, you know what, let's not get tripped up here in terms of, you know, monetizing the business, and let's get this content directly into the user. So we took out that first ad. We kind of put it a little further down into the video cast so people can get the information that they need. And so far, that seems to be resonating with people. I think a lot of people have been echoing your sentiment, is that we're not beating you over the head with advertisements, but we're doing it in a very tasteful way. To your point about the video quality and being able to access it over a 2G network, I have a 2G phone as well, one of the earlier iPhones, along with, you know, the three other phones that I carry with me on a daily basis, one of which obviously is my Google phone, which I love, actually. But, you know, one of the things that's different about OneCast, and again, it surprises me that others don't do this, and it could be a cost issue, it could be, you know, whatever. But when we ingest content from our programming partners, we take that and we re-encode it specifically to the different device types and anticipated bandwidth that those device types will require. So we're not going to push a 1.5 megabit file down to an edge network for viewing on a mobile device, nor are we going to take a, you know, 86 kilobit, you know, mobile file and try and, you know, push that to the desktop where the resolution and the frame rate are going to be off. So we really focus on and stress over every single pixel in this environment, and we want to make sure that the desktop is stunning, that on the mobile space the content comes up quickly, it's snappy, it's got a high frame rate, and the bandwidth doesn't just, you know, destroy these mobile devices. And, you know, we've got a lot of fine-tuning we're continuing to do with that, and I think you'll see some more improvements as we move closer towards our commercial launch here at the beginning part of Q3.
Gotcha. That sounds like you're probably onto something with a lot of these people is they probably make something that's you know, one size fits all and says, here, we're just going to put this out and here's the video and good luck to you. It might take you 3 minutes to get it to load and it might get you instant, but depending on your network. So to see even the video that you guys, you know, put out here with it, I'm assuming anticipation of the 2G mostly network, at least for right now, is it looks very good. It didn't feel like I'm getting a very, you know, stripped down light version of, oh, this is pretty good. You know, go to our website if you really want the good quality video. It felt very, is much clearer than I anticipated when I showed people that I work, you know, with. I said, here, take a look at this. And they said, wow, that's actually way better.
Well, I'm glad you think so. You know, and it's something that, you know, we went back and forth on because, you know, we didn't want to have that kind of an experience where we're basically, you know, doing the bait and switch where we're throwing out the mobile concept really as a means to drive people to the desktop. Ours is truly a three-screen strategy, and so we didn't want to have anything different in terms of the experience on the mobile as we would have on the desktop. Now, clearly there's a little bit of extra functionality on the desktop that the mobile devices don't have, and that's just purely a function of the operating systems of the various platforms. But we'll be changing that over time. We work very closely with the teams over at Google and Apple, and you know, it's our goal to make sure that wherever you are and watching OneCast that you have full functionality across any of these devices.
Nice. One of the questions that I wanted to ask you was in looking at, you know, some of the functionality of this, it's you're not going through a bunch of menus to figure out what am I looking for, how do I get to what I want, you know, with the suggested news, the different headlines and being able to pick the networks it's a real nice, not cluttered, not busy, not have to do a lot of work to get to what you want. As far as the way you guys do the software, is that like to determine the networks? Is that the same that you're going to find on the mobile version that you will on the desktop?
Oh yeah, all of the content is the same across both platforms. So you know, today, as you can see on the devices, we've got, you know, Associated Press, Agence France-Presse, which is AFP, CBC, CNBC, and Reuters. We are in the process right now of implementing a transaction we recently completed with Dow Jones that will be adding their All Things D, which is Walt Mossberg's piece, into the platform, Barron's, Market Watch, and the Wall Street Journal content all into the platform. And you'll see that across the desktop and the Android phone.
Will that be just an update that people can just go to the market and get?
It will be pushed to them on the mobile device immediately once it's available on the desktop. So everything happens at the same time. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
And more content is coming available. You know, it's our value proposition to the programmers is really resonated with these folks. And as we continue to work through the contracts with them, you know, we see that probably within the next, you know, 30 to 60 days, we'll have nearly every national broadcaster and programmer on the platform. And that will really start to allow us to broaden the scope of what we consider news. Today, as you can see, you know, it's fairly focused on business, news, politics. But news for us is much more than that. Mm-hmm. It includes sports. It includes technology. It's comedy. It's entertainment. It's lifestyle. All with that news bent. And that gives us an opportunity to work with the likes of MTV, with ESPN and Fox Sports, et cetera, you know, whom we're all talking with. And I think that allows us to, again, take this news concept that you very well articulated in terms of, you know, putting it in the hands of people, you know, as they need it, but open it up to a wider audience and speak to the people who are really focused on the entertainment and comedy section, or hit the sports guy, for example, who just wants to see the latest scores or what Bud Selig is going to do with Alex Rodriguez right now. And we're really excited about that.
Right.
And again, with all of those folks, you know, we are in discussions on a number of fronts. And over time, you'll see the breadth of our content expand and the functionality and the searchability of that content expand to make it a really, really exciting platform.
That's awesome. It's, I was wondering when I got this, I started playing with it, I thought, is this, you know, all of the news, you know, is this something that as you mentioned, is mostly business, mostly finance. As a kid growing up, this is what you think of the news as.
Yep.
When you're a kid, that's news. But then as I get older, I think of, you know, how did the Packers do, you know, yesterday, or, you know, what's going on with, you know, entertainment business. And that's news.
Well, exactly.
That I find,
I mean, you're exactly right. Your business is, you know, in the technology and entertainment space, and then you've got personal interests like sports as well. And you know, we don't want to box ourselves or our users in.
That's awesome. So a lot of these features are just going to basically be rolled out across the board, and anybody that's basically looking at OneCast online or has this on their phone is
absolutely
just going to see these
changes
all
automatic.
Coming over time.
The only thing the only thing that changes from the application perspective is the networks tab, so we can image, you know, the networks logo. But that's really it in terms of any updates from a content perspective. You know, clearly we're going to continue to build on the functionality to get these mobile devices closer and closer to the desktop application. We're also wanting to bring the search functionality a little more forward. A lot of people use OneCast to get the headlines, to watch the networks, to see kind of what's hot in terms of the suggested cast. But the real secret sauce, if you will, to OneCast is the search functionality that allows users to type in any topic they want, you know, be it Obama or be it, you know, the new TARP fund regulations that are coming out, to, you know, again, as I mentioned, you know, Bud Selig and what he's going to do with A-Rod, and type those content in and create that personalized newscast and then save that cast. And then that cast, as new content comes up, is constantly refreshed and refreshed throughout the day. So you can create any number of those on your mobile device, on the desktop, and whatever you create on the mobile desktop, it's immediately available on the mobile device and vice versa. So that's one of the things that we're really trying to educate users about is, you know, this is a great lean back experience, but if you want to truly engage with the content and you're really passionate about getting content that's meaningful to you, this system allows you to do just that and create your own newscast. You know, it could be titled Scott's Cast, and it could cover anything from sports to weather to technology. That's the really secret sauce behind OneCast and one of the messages that we're pushing out to the market.
See, and that's something I think a lot of people, including myself, wouldn't have known, especially up front, as I played with it. And then I saw this, you know, register type thing. I thought, well, I'm getting all the news that I want, and I'm seeing all the clips. What's the, you know, what's the benefit of me creating a profile for that? And now I see, hey, this is your morning news channel that you could pick and watch, you know, in the morning.
That's exactly
it.
Because,
update,
you know, some
so.
People, you know, while they appreciate headlines, maybe our what we consider a headline in our programming department doesn't match up with what you want, for example. And the purpose of registering is just simply to create a user account, you know, in our back end system that can store that content and store those preferences for you. So it's one of the things that we're looking at in terms of the whole user experience, how we can bring that search functionality forward. You know, one of the frustrating pieces, I think, for us, and I think this is probably the only one that we had with the Google teams, is that, you know, when you type in the information about the application in Android Market, it doesn't give you a lot of room to bring a lot of these different feature sets forward to the user. And we're hoping that they change that and allow developers such as us, you know, talk a little bit more and give some more guidance to people who download these apps so they know truly what functionality is embedded here.
I've noticed that myself with the market. It's almost like you have Twitter-like space to say everything that you do in a nutshell, and you don't have any
Nope.
room to just go on a tangent and just, you know, say we do all these different types of things for you. Otherwise, it could be we are a newsfeed application. It's like I've had the same complaint, I guess, with the market is. Oh, so they have one paragraph to hammer everything out, so many characters, and how do you
well,
sell
yeah,
yourself
it's tough.
To somebody?
325 characters,
space,
you know,
so.
Makes it tough to sell a value proposition or even describe, you know, the base functionality of an application. And I think there's good and bad to that. I think as we talked about, the bad or the frustrating part of that is you really can't get, you know, all of the functionality listed out there for users to actually see. At the same time, however, it does make developers such as us really think through the user interface and make it as intuitive as possible, so users don't have to read, you know, a manual to figure out what you have to do. And we're trying to balance that right now. And I think so far we've done a good job, but we expect to do a lot better. And so you'll see some updates, some different GUI changes here over the coming months as we prepare for commercial launch.
That's really cool stuff. And you mentioned something about the recommended, and I wanted to circle back on that real quick. Is that something that just says we recommend this based on these are hot topics today, or this is based off of what you've watched we think that you might enjoy?
Right now, the suggested is all built around the hot topics that users are currently searching for within OneCast. And so what we're looking to do, though, as we get more direct registered users as opposed to people who are simply coming to the site and watching, you know, the headlines as suggested, is have a personal recommendation engine. You know, so if you, you know, put something in there about the Packers, for example, and that was your search term and you're following them, you know, maybe we suggest a story about Brett Favre's second retirement. Maybe that would resonate for you. So it's all of those things kind of together. So it's going to start with, again, kind of a more macro recommendation piece. But we definitely see it personalizing over time. And we really want to, you know, target the user and make this a really relevant experience. I mean, everybody, as you can appreciate, you know, online or the different pundits that are out there continue to talk about the whole efficacy of behavioral targeting for advertisements. Well, what about the efficacy of behavioral targeting of content itself? What if you can have a suggestion engine very similar to how Amazon is able to suggest things to you, but around video or news topics? We see that as being a big play for us, and it's something that we're currently working on as far as our commercial launch product is concerned.
Amazon is, I think, the benchmark when it comes to recommending stuff. I've never seen anything that suggests something to me and I actually feel compelled to click on it so often, because they just, it seems like they, whatever their algorithm is or whatever they're doing, it just knows you, and intuitively it makes me want to go back there because it's going to help me discover stuff that I might not have seen. And that's something that I look forward to with this is, wow, I usually turn the channel when this stuff comes on because I didn't pay any attention to it, but now it's suggesting things to me to watch based off of my interest in the news or what
that's
I find to be
newsworthy. And that's the model we're hoping to follow.
Really, really cool. Well, I think I've pretty much exhausted the questions that I had. I didn't know if you guys had anything else that you'd like to get across. Anything that you wanted to add?
Well, I think just really focusing on the whole search functionality and educating our user base that exists within these mobile devices as well as on our desktop. So, you know, explore the application, look to build different newscasts that are relevant to you, and learn how this can be not just a fun lean back experience, but also a very fun and meaningful lean forward and truly engaging experience with the content that you can really make something that's, again, personally relevant to you. I would say next to that, continue to stay tuned. There'll be more content coming on board. We should be launching all that Dow Jones content that I mentioned sometime next week as the integration completes. And we have a whole host of other platforms that will be being integrated from a content perspective. So it's going to continue to get more and more search capabilities, and greater content breadth should hopefully make for a much more compelling experience for our user base.
Well, I'm excited. It feels like I had been missing out on a lot of stuff so far. When I kind of like felt like I woke up and I saw this, I thought, man, I've been missing the boat. But actually, it feels like there's a whole lot more yet to come that can really, you know, as far as mobile, you know, having news delivered and pushed to me, it's like, wow, this is, you know, it's a free application. And I always tell people, get on the market, check it out. It's free. Play with it. You know, find out if it's right for you. But this seems like the kind of thing that immediately appealed to me, and I think would appeal to a lot of people, is just get on there and check it out. But just to know that there's this much more, you know, waiting in the shadows to come along just makes me think, you know, even harder about, you know, do I want to ever uninstall this type of application, or do I find this something to be?
Well, we've so far, our experience in the mobile space, it's been a very sticky application. So people, I believe, like the product, because of the functionality, but I think just simply because of the content and the quality of content, as you pointed out. So we're excited. We're having just really a blast, you know, developing this platform, working with the content owners, the folks again at Google, and allowing us to bring forward an application that, you know, we couldn't be more excited about.
This is really cool. I want to thank you for taking your time out of your day to speak with me and to kind of educate my readers a little bit. We'll be watching, keeping an eye on the application and the website, and I encourage anybody out there listening, if you haven't downloaded this application, go out there and do it and play with it. Even after a few minutes, you'll realize how cool it is to have just the news that you want, or that you could skip through and get to. So it's a really cool application, and like I said, if you haven't downloaded it, get it. It's free. Put it on your phone, and I guarantee you'll be playing with it quite a bit. Anthony, thanks again.
Scott, my pleasure.
Appreciate you taking time to speak with us and share. And if you guys ever have any questions, you want to get anything out to us and, send any press releases or anything.
Appreciate that.
We'll be,
thanks so much, Scott.
Happy to do what we can for you.
You too. Bye.
All right. Have a nice evening. Thank you.